Well, today we have a guest, a friend of mine for many years now. I don't know how long it is, Joe, but it's been 35 plus that we've known each other. We went to church together in Goldsboro. Danny Morgan was with us at the time at the church there in Goldsboro. And we had a wonderful season of ministry. Joe and I went to pastor school in Phoenix, Arizona, Tommy Barnett School a couple times, at least once for sure that we went, and you went more. And anyways, in those course of years, you know, I came into ministry out of the Air Force and did youth and children in Goldsboro and then eventually came here. Joe felt the call to street ministry. He goes to the highways and the byways, Hollywood, Los Angeles, into the ghetto. When we send our Christmas cards out in the winter, we send all that big batch of cards to Joe, and he goes on the street and gives them out with a $5 McDonald's card, and sometimes that's the only gift that those folks will get on the streets, and he meets folks from all over the world, and so he's visiting in Goldsboro. His sister Debbie is here with us, and so we're glad that they're here, and we're glad that you're here. He has a great ministry. We'll receive a love offering for him at the end of the service. We want to bless him generously. We're so appreciative of what he does. It's a hard work that he does. So he's going to share a little bit about his ministry. He's going to do the preaching this morning as well. So would you give Joe Woodard a good hand this morning as he comes?
Good morning. Good morning. Truly appreciate it. I don't know how long it's been since I've been here, probably 7, 8 years. I think I had hair like Elvis when I was here last. So it's been a while, right? But anyway, very grateful. Never take these moments for granted. Like Gary said, you guys, I'm the guy who distributes the Christmas cards you guys send to us every year. Now, we just don't do this at Christmas. We do this throughout the year. We find people on the street. When I signed up for missions about 33 years ago, matter of fact, June was 33 years that I had made my first missionary journey to Hollywood, California. I thought I was doing God a favor when I showed up. I was like, check my box for God. Anybody ever do that besides me? Check your box for God. And little did I know that it was my heart that was being changed. And that's the beauty of this thing. See, I came back home. I was ready to go back to work, do life, do family life. And, you know, when I felt the tug on my heart for missions and ministry, I'm like, no, God, let me go back home and get my kids through college, pay off my house. Anybody negotiate with God besides me? I'm always negotiating and renegotiating. And sometimes I hear stuff and I say, return to sender, because I don't like what I hear all the time. And so, but anyway, as I ministered to some of these kids, I begin to hear their story, and something began to capture my own heart, because we all have our own story. We all have our own pain. We all got something inside of our own heart that we've carried. And for me to be in this situation to hear these kids talk, it broke my heart. So then when I came back home and went to church in Goldsboro First Assembly, when we had great worship and great times, I would see these faces and I would hear these stories play back in my heart. So I knew there was a hook in my heart. So what do? You show up again. You say, okay, God, I'm going one more time, but this is my last time. You know what I'm saying? And so I kept saying that, and little by little. And then I got to the point, I said, okay, God, here I am. And I'm telling you, that's a tough place for us to all be in our Christian walk, to say, God, here I am. And it's not always easy. It'll cost you something, whether you're young or old. Because you have to make a choice, and we all have defining moments, and this is really what it becomes. It becomes a defining moment in your life. It's where you take the different path and you go a certain way, and you don't know the next step. And I was just sharing with Pastor Gary earlier, you know, how is it that we're so young, we always trust God. We trusted God having kids, buying our first house. We didn't even think twice, but somehow we get in retirement mode, and we think we've got to have enough money put away somewhere to carry us through, how we don't trust God in our later years. But God still speaks to us. He still nurtures our heart. He's still doing a work in our heart. And when I see these kids, I knew everybody didn't have the same upbringing. Listen, you ain't got to be under a bridge to be brokenhearted. You can be sitting here this morning with a broken heart and ministering to these kids and ministering to people. It's not like, because, you know, as I talk about evangelism for just a few minutes, but this is evangelism right here. I want us to go away with a fire in our heart. I want us to go away with something on the inside that says, you know what? I'm not going to be status quo. I want to do something significant. I want to make a difference. I want to be that person that speaks into someone's life and to know that are changed. And there's something about showing up and looking people in the eye And something, and it's allowing the Holy Spirit to massage their heart. See, I learned a long time ago, it's my job to present Christ. Are you with me? It's the Holy Spirit's job to reveal Christ. And see, sometimes we are Christians are guilty. We think we have to close the deals. As young Christians, we're like, can I pray with you? Can I lead you to the Lord, brother? Can sister, come let me pray? You know what? I don't have that mentality. I want to get you to a place that you're just a little bit closer, just a little bit more thirsty, a little bit more hungry than you were yesterday. I want to leave you better off than I found you. And see, sometimes it's just massaging the heart, listening to what they say. People, how do you evangelize? You listen a lot. Because what works for you may not work for you. What might not work for him. I have to slowly hear where you're hurting at. I've used this illustration many times. I don't know if I've done it here. If I walked into the doctor's office and said, doctor, you know, I'm hurting. He says, hold out your hand. And he puts a nice pretty cast on it and he signs it Dr. Gary. He says, how do you feel? I'm like, horrible. It's my foot that's broken. See, we are so quick as Christians to bandage people up at all the wrong places. And we don't hear what they're saying. And so when I started ministering to these kids, I listened to their story. Now I'm not justifying their actions. But I can tell you, when you have a broken heart, you'll do stuff you didn't ever think you could ever do. You'll cross lines you never thought you would cross with a broken heart. I told my sister this morning, I said, I know why the bars are full. Because when I went through a divorce, an unplanned divorce, and my son passed away all in about 18 months, I found myself in a place I wanted to die. And I'm the preacher. I'm the one who's telling everybody else, this is a place you want to go to. But I was heartbroken myself. I'm being a little transparent this morning. But see, we all get that way. But how do you get past that? You know, for me, I was finding people that were hurting worse than me. Because when you go out and love on people, you think, man, I thought I had it bad until I talked to Johnny and Bob and Leslie and Tommy. Man, they went through something far worse than I do. So in the mornings when I pray, I'm a little religious in some areas. My prayer time is my prayer time. I'm guarded over that time. I mean, I have my little things I touch and hold, and that's just me. But I have two things that are real special to me. It's two rocks. One says love, one says live. And I start praying in the mornings and I say, I will love to live and live to love. And I just purpose in my heart that I capture this moment, because if I can capture this moment with God, because I'm telling you, you all know this when you worship, when you pray, how you don't want to leave this space. It's like having a great worship service, great preaching. You're like, man, you don't want church to be over with. And then all of a sudden he says, go. You're like, wait a minute, I don't want to go. I want to stay right here. I want to stay right here. I live to love and love to live. You have to have that moment. And where do you get that moment? You get it in places like this. You get it in fellowship. You get it in Tuesday Bible studies. You get it at fellowship member. You get it looking that person in the eye and speaking hope and life into them. And just maybe, the Holy Spirit will do what it said it would do. Reveal Christ. When I pray these kids, even this week, I said, how do you want me to pray with you? And they'll give me something. Maybe some of it's legitimate. And what's legitimate to them? It's their prayer request. But it may be something like, pray for my dog. I said, yeah, I'll pray for your dog. But man, when I start praying, I said, God, wherever they lay their head at tonight, you speak to them while they're laying on that concrete block, while they're shivering cold. You speak to them. And it's in that moment, see, we're trusting. And they hear this word, and they hear that prayer, and they say, oh, thank you for that prayer. They didn't ask for that part of it. I just added my own part to it. But see, that's just showing up. They're not showing up here. They're not showing up. I don't care what buildings we build. Now, some people will show up. Community shows up. But I'm talking about those who are brokenhearted, who have left home in pain. And they'll say things to me like, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I said. And sometimes, and I deal with some of the people that are on the far outcast. I was driving to Raleigh one year. And, let me just back up a little bit. Can you imagine when the story ended, when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead? Now, he came to the tomb. And he says, and he prays, and then he said, come forth. Now we all, in our imagination, just imagine with me, hear the rock rolling. And something behind that rock, I mean, he maybe started to wiggle a little bit, you know. He said, wait a minute, I was dead. I'm moving now. I'm just trying to paint the picture. As it rolled away. But then Jesus said something very significant after that. Anybody know what it is? Unwrap him. Wait a minute. Jesus, you rose him from the dead. You make the stuff fall off of him. No. He employed humanity. Take the grave clothes off. So that means I had to walk up to that person and slowly. And Gary, man, he stunk. You know, I just had to literally take him around. And don't you know, every time they unwrapped it, he got worse and worse. And he's like, I can't do this. But see, what are you willing to do? What grave clothes does your neighbor have on? He's asking you to unwrap. What person in the marketplace that you come in contact with on a continual basis? He says, will you unwrap the grave clothes? I've already said, come forth. I need you to do that part. And I was driving to Raleigh, and this is where I was going a few years ago, actually many years ago, and I saw the guy coming out of the woods. And you know, my first reaction, oh man, that's so sad. But I kept going, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, turn around. I said, oh no. I got somewhere to be, God. You know me. I have an appointment, and I'd rather be 30 minutes early than 5 minutes late. That's just the way I roll. And guess what God did? Said it again. Turn around. I said, I don't like this. I don't like this. I probably went 3 miles. I don't know. I finally turned around. But was I happy? I was mad at God. I'm late now. I got to hurry up. What am I going to say to this guy? And when I got back to him, I pulled up in front of him. He was just walking down 70 Highway, probably about as far from here to that wall, off the road. I got out and I started walking to him. He had a tumor on the side of his neck, like so. It was huge. The biggest tumor I'd ever seen on somebody. And I didn't know what to say. And I don't even know what I said, to tell you the truth. Maybe, are you okay? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, just as clear as turn around, hug him. I said, oh, no, 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 no. No. Mm-mm. Hug him. I said, can I hug you? His bottom lip began to quiver. He said, I'd like that. I wouldn't. And I held him. And then what seemed like 3 minutes was probably 20 seconds. I don't know. And you know what? He said, thank you. I don't know who I hugged that day. I didn't say one word about the gospel. I didn't carry him down the Roman road. I just hugged him. And sometimes that's all you got to do. Just be there for people when they need them the most. I don't know if I gave him money. I don't know what I did. I probably did know it me. But it was just that moment. And that's what we're having to trust the Holy Spirit for, is that moment. Everybody gets discouraged. We all have issues. You know, we see them out there, but we got issues in here too. We just speak faith into them. Last year we did over like 4,000 cards. Was able to pray with 366 people to receive Jesus Christ. Folks, that's one a day for leap year. I'm telling you, it was the best year I think we've ever had. People responding to the gospel. Now when you show up instead of them blowing you off, it's like, yeah, this is what my grandma used to talk about. These are the times. I remember when we were kids, before I got strung out on drugs. This is what I used to hear as a kid. The seed is in their heart. We're just picking up the pieces and taking them to the place. I want them to finish strong. I don't want them to be left behind. I don't have to be first in line. I don't have to get to heaven and say, yippee, I'm here. I'd rather be last and just be bringing some folk with me. You know what I'm saying? Just get people to the place. We have a short video. Just give you a snapshot, 1 minute long. Give you a snapshot of who we see on a continual basis.
When I was 14, my mom passed away of alcoholism, and my dad, I have no idea where he's at. So ever since I was 14, I've been taking care of myself.
I've been disowned by both my parents. My dad when I was 17, my mom just last January. She could care less if I'm on the ground, in the street, you know, dead. She wouldn't even care. She wouldn't even turn around and look back.
This is just a snapshot of who we see. So when you get the cards to us, we become that spiritual postman. And we go find these people. We give them a card. It's a window to the heart. I call it life insurance to me. I'm giving them something first before they take something from me, okay? Because these are some pretty rough areas I go into. And so if you're not prepared to, trust me, I go where I'm uninvited and they don't take offerings, okay? But with that said, let me just inspire you this morning. I want to leave you better than I found you. And there's a story, or not just a story, but Jesus said in John 14 that he's going away to prepare a place for us that we might be with him there also. There was a promise made, but everybody don't know about that promise. And a good illustration for this story is found in 1 Samuel is the promise that was made between Jonathan and David. Now, they were both battling, and they were in battle, but Saul was obviously wanting to kill David. And they said, which one of us or die, or get, if we get killed, we would take care of each other's family. Well, the battle rages, and now you pick up the story in 2 Samuel 2, and now Jonathan had died. Matter of fact, if I get the story right, Jonathan and Saul were killed the same day. But nobody knew about the promise. So David was thinking one day, he says, is there anybody left in Jonathan's house that I might be good to them? And they said, yeah, they did some research, and they found out it was a guy named Mephibosheth. Now, I've been practicing that a lot, Mephibosheth. We don't have that name in Wayne County or out west, but anyway. But this child was born into royalty, destined to take the throne. And when the battle took place, the maid picked up the child, was running out with him, dropped the child, okay? Dropped the child, broke both of his legs, and now he's living somewhere he's not supposed to live. It's a place called Lodabar. He's in a place, a city, somewhere he was not supposed to be. He was supposed to take the throne. He was next in line to take the throne. But now he's living. So David's saying, find this kid, find this individual that I might be good to him. Now, can you imagine when he got word? He said, yeah, there's one living. His name is Mephibosheth. He's living in Lodabar. He said, well, go fetch him. Go get him. Bring him to the palace. Now, I don't know about you, but my imagination begins to work. You remember those big Clydesdale horses that you see on those commercials on TV? And those, I could see these big 6 foot, 7 foot guys on these big horses riding into town. They think, oh man, who's in trouble? And they said, we're looking for Mephibosheth. And maybe someone ran out the back door, ran around the corner through the cracks and the crevices and got through the alleyway and said, he's here, they're going to take you out now. And he thought probably the worst thing he could imagine. He's at his lowest point and now they come to kill me. But that's not what happened. They got to the house and they said, Mephibosheth, the king is looking for you. Come on, church. That was a Pentecostal moment right there. The king is looking for you. Now, you got to remember, he's crippled. He can't get up. He can't say, yippee. He probably sat there. And I could see these picking him up and taking him. Probably put him on the horse. Probably put him in some kind of apparatus. And took him to the palace. And maybe when he got to the palace, he said, well, David's going to do this himself. He ain't even going to let the guards take me out. He's going to take me out personally. Could you imagine the fear that gripped his heart? You say, Joe, where are you going to? Can you imagine some of the things that people go through in their heart? They say, man, I'm already at rock bottom. I can't get to where I need on my own. I can't make it to the church. I can't make it to faith because nobody speaks into my life. Nobody encourages me. You're at church 1, 2, 3, 4 times a week and you still miss it. And these people have nobody to cheer them on. But they picked him up. And they probably came and set him before David. And he probably fell down and bowed and he probably was in a mercy mode to save my soul. He said, oh no, I'm not here to harm you. I'm here to bless you. Everything that was intended for you, you're going to sit at this table continuously. You're going to eat here. And you know what? He did. Could you imagine being picked up, But it took some service. It took some people willing to go out. It took people willing to take grave clothes off. It's taking people willing to speak. It's taking people willing to give. Folks, we're the Church of Jesus Christ. We talk about the times we live in, but we act like nothing's never going to happen. We act like nothing's ever going to happen. But I'm telling you, something's going to happen. We're going to go away from here one day. He may come, he may not, but we are going out of here. And how we go out, how we mark our society, how we mark our generation. You know what? I want to be part of names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all I can do. I just reveal Christ. I don't reveal Christ. I present Christ. The covenant's been made. People don't know about the covenant. And that's our responsibility as the Church of Jesus Christ to say, you know what? He said he was going away to prepare a place for us. I want you at his table. Now, when we pass out the McDonald's cards or the meal cards, the encouragement cards, whatever people call them, we call them encouragement cards, they say, who is Gary? Who is Sally or Bob? I say, this is someone who loves Jesus. And while they're having dinner at their table, they want to extend their table to you through us. They say, will you tell him? Lisa and Tom and Eddie, thank you. Like I know them. And I said, you know, if I see them, I will. And see, it creates that window. See, I'm inviting them to the table of God. See, we all get discouraged. I get discouraged. I just told you how we all get discouraged. Listen, we read the scriptures continuously. We preach out of the scriptures. Do you think Paul always had it together? Do you think Peter always had it together? I don't think so. Could you imagine? I want your imagination to work with me just a little bit this morning. Now, we know Paul got knocked off his horse, Saul, and became Paul, and he was blind for 3 days. And he'd become a radical transformation. Do you ever think he just had a moment? He says, oh man, this is tough. And maybe he just went by the stable and took out some money and told the guy, said, saddle me up a horse. Oh, I hadn't seen you in these parks lately. And he rides back to that place where he got knocked off his horse. And maybe he sat there for 3 days and said, God, do in me what you did before. Come on, anybody ever done that besides me? You had that moment 20 years ago. You had that moment 10 years ago. But somewhere in work and service, you just got a little burnt out. And you say, God. And you go sit on a rock, hoping just somehow you'd have that moment again. What about Peter? Well, you know Peter was a feisty old guy. Maybe he went back to that boat and maybe he laced a couple shekels on that little boat stand. And the guy said, yeah, I knew that Jesus thing wouldn't work out for you. You going back into fishing business, buddy? You know, you following that loser? Yeah, I told you you'd be back. And they didn't know why he was back for the wrong reason, or he was back for a different reason. He just rowed that boat out. I'm a little dramatic, right? This is how you row? No, I don't know how you row. Row. Anyway, he went back to that place, and maybe night set in. Maybe a full moon. And maybe somewhere in his heart, he said, God, send a storm. That I can walk on water one more time. I need to walk on water. And know what? The storm didn't come. He probably woke up and it was still calm. It was still like glass. But he was trying to recapture something. We all have that moment in our life we're trying to recapture. When you minister to people, when you love on people, don't see them where they're at. See them where they could potentially be. Maybe even Lazarus, since we're talking about going back. Maybe, you know, his graveyard was a stone. Maybe he walked up to the rock and just laid against the rock. And maybe the guy says, what are you doing? I just need to hold the rock. I want to hear it roll one more time. Anybody here need to hear a rock roll? That's rock and roll. That was divine. That was spontaneous. Anybody here need to walk on water? Come on, church. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. If you can't get it right in here, you're going to have a harder time out there. There's people working against you out there. There's as Pastor Gary was saying, there's an enemy that wants to sift you. But know that Christ is praying for you, that you might finish and you might cross the finish line, that you might know the promise. But not just you know the promise, you share the promise. And as you share the promise, you're giving people a lifeline. You're giving them an opportunity to sing Amazing Grace. You give them an opportunity to sing the song, "As the deer panteth for the water, my soul longeth after thee." Folks, I quit judging people. I don't know that I've ever judged people, but I quit a long time ago. If I had any in me at all, I didn't know it, but I don't like, that's you. I don't judge anybody. You can take this moment and go forward. And God will take your pain, and He'll use it to minister somebody else's pain. Y'all believe that? I was in Hollywood or Los Angeles at MacArthur Park. It's probably 99% Hispanic. We had teams. I've been doing teams again for 33 years. People would come out to Hollywood and we'd take teams all around Hollywood and LA and minister. And I had just gone through my setback and I was just, but the team was already booked. I didn't tell them I was down and out and I was depressed and I wanted to die. I still shared the gospel, told them how to do evangelism. There was about 15 kids on my team, and I said, "Hey, guys, you guys just break up in threes and fours and get one this way." And I was just going to go sit on a park bench and have my own little pity party. And as I'm sitting there, this guy walks by, and I don't know what made me do it. Maybe it's the southern thing in me. So, "How's it going?" He said, "Why in the blankety blank would you care?" Okay, got one here. Stood up and said, "What's going on?" He said, "You really want to know?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I'm here today to contemplate my suicide." He said, "I'll be dead before midnight." He said, "I just got off the phone with my mom, had my last talk." Exactly how he said it. "Now, in my spirit, I know I have a time bomb." So I didn't say, "You can't kill yourself. Don't you know that's not what the Bible..." No, just listen. Just listen. And I'm praying, "Holy Spirit, if you don't do something..." This might be his last conversation with any humanity. And he told me a story, and it almost mirrored mine to the very year. And after talking to this guy for about an hour, he started weeping and crying. He said, "Man, you're a godsend." He said, "I knew I was going to be dead before midnight." He said, "Not only have you taught me how to not commit myself," he said, "I want to live and serve Jesus the rest of my life." You say, "Man, he was just telling you that." I don't know, but he told me that. But I was at the right place at the right time. God has a way of taking your pain and minister to someone else's pain. But like I said, I got to listen a lot. And if I do, I can best minister back to them where they're hurting at the most. I'm asking you this morning, don't everybody need to know about the promises of God? Or have you reserved yourself to say, "I ain't ministering to that person. Not my area, not my calling." When the Lord put into my heart that I would minister to the people that nobody wanted, I thought it was my next door neighbor. I didn't like him, and he knew I didn't like him. And I was a Christian. I was going to church three times a week, Gary. I was in church, but I did not like him or his wife. Because they just obnoxious. But God, but see, why am I telling you that? I'm just like you. I don't wake up fuzzy. Come on, church. I don't just wake up. I just love everybody. I wake up and I got to have coffee. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to do all these stuff that we do as humans early on. And if I don't yield to the Spirit right away, I can get busy real fast. Come on, y'all with me on this one? You can say, "Man, I got to go here. Oh, I got an appointment at the doctor. I got to do this, got to do that." If I don't get that moment with God, I can lose that moment throughout the day. I have to capture that. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Don't miss these moments that you have set aside with God, that you become a better Christian, a stronger Christian, a more loving Christian. That people will look in your eyes and they'll say, "There's something about you that's different." We were riding the subway from Hollywood down to Los Angeles. This was another team, another year. And this older gentleman in the back of the train, and I was standing up holding the train, he said, "Sir," I looked around, he said,
"You're a Christian, aren't you?" I'm like, "How can you tell?" He said, "I could feel the power of God coming out of you." I'm thinking, first I thought, did I have a Christian t-shirt on? Did I have a WWJD bracelet on? I didn't even feel it. I was jealous. I couldn't even feel the power of God, but somehow it was being transfused into this guy's spirit. I told him, New York is like California. They don't nobody speak to nobody. You know what I'm saying? You just mind your own business. He said that. But see, we pray. We pray. And it's the power of God into salvation. This is another team, another time. I don't know how much time I got. But anyway, this young girl was ministering to these kids a long time ago. And this guy said, "I don't care who I kill. I'm at that place. I'm just crossed the line. I'm done. I don't care what happens." He said, "I steal what I steal. I kill whoever I have to kill." Now, when the kids I see, they probably have killed some people. Because that's just, especially if you're in a gang. And I see that more now than I ever have. But what he didn't know, this team that had came from, I think it was Northern California. It was like 10 or 12 kids. So this one girl, she's having a conversation with this guy, which he didn't realize they had formed a circle around him. And these kids started praying in the spirit. Come on, church. Started praying in the spirit. And she said, little by little, the tone got lower and lower and lower. Because we had debrief at night when we all come back in. She's telling the story. And these kids were astounded. They're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Saying, "We watched him just melt before the Holy Spirit. On his own, he fell to his knees, cried out that God would save his soul, even in everything he'd ever done." These kids were astounded. It took someone believing in the power of the Spirit. They believe in the power of prayer. Are you praying for your children? Come on, church. Are you praying for your spouse? Are you Are you praying for your neighbor? Are you praying for those that you really don't see the eye to eye with? Those who think different than you? Can I go here? That vote different than you? Come on. You know what? We're not going to pick and choose who gets to heaven. Amen. I want everybody to get to heaven. I want everybody to know His grace and His goodness. But we have to show up. We have to do our part. Because you know what? This is our part. This is the race we're running. God don't quit carrying us when we fail. Man, if God quit carrying me every time I failed, I'd be in the high a long time. I'd struck out a long time ago. I'd been gone down to the small leagues. I mean, I'd have been out. But you can't get lost in those moments. You say, "God, I won't cross this bridge again." You pick yourself back up. You go back to your stone. You go back to that place where you found salvation. You go back to that place where you got rejuvenated, renewed, and refreshed. And you pray God to have His creative spirit. You pray to God that you have His imagination. You pray God that you would just, all these things would just to begin to flood your soul in such a way that you come out and say, "Oh, it's a new day. His mercies are new every morning." Come on, church. That scripture becomes more real to me as I get older. I need this. Sometimes at night I say, "Lord, is it morning yet?" I need some fresh stuff. Because when I deal with people, I say deal with people. That's not the right word. As I minister to people, and it's draining, Gary. Man, you start sitting down and you hear people's problems. I feel like I'm a on-site counselor. You know, you pull up at the QT and there's four kids behind the ice machine. And they all got a story. And here I am with my bottle of water, like, "Let's go." And they dump on you. And I say dump, I mean, they just, "You don't know what I've been through, preacher." And I say, "You know what? It's okay. You make choices to get here. You make choices to get out. You are the CEO of your own life. What are you going to do? You can blame someone the rest of your life, or you can get up." Who wants to get up? Sometimes they just get up. I want to change. A girl told me a few weeks ago, she said, well, this happened actually before Christmas. She said, "Joe, you refuse to let us die out here." She said, "You keep coming around." She said, "Why do you do this? Who are you? Who are you, masked man? You keep showing up." But you know what? You keep showing up. And Gary keeps ministering to you because he wants you to finish strong. I want them to finish strong. I don't want to be a drive-by. It looks like a drive-by, but I'll see you next week. I'll see you in a few weeks. I go to all these different parts of town. I'll see you soon. And when they see me, I've been doing it for so long, they say, "Oh, man, it's like a fresh water to them." And she told me that a few months ago, she said, "I can't keep doing this." She said, "My husband went to prison." She said, "I just can't keep doing this." And we prayed. I prayed with her to receive Christ that morning. But I'd ministered to her several times. So Christmas morning, let me close out with a couple three stories. Actually, it'll be fast. One story, three segments. I got down Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. This was Christmas morning, I believe it was. I couldn't sleep. I don't know why. Maybe I was looking for Santa Claus. And I got up early and I said, I'm going to go pass out. I'd saved some cards, particularly for Christmas morning. I had about 50. And I started going to some of the places. And I typically don't go out during the night. One, it's not safe during the day, but to go out at night, you really are setting yourself up for something. And I went to some of these places and I saw the kids I normally see in the daytime. Now I saw them in nighttime mode. Here's nighttime mode. Three are sleeping, one's guarding. And they're shivering. And it was cold. I was in my car and I was cold. They were shivering. Some only just had a t-shirt on and they're just shaking. And I'd pull up and I'd say, hey, good morning, Merry Christmas. And I had did this for a couple hours and I went to this and I got down three cards. And I say I call it my favorite. People just decorate some of these cards so amazing. They draw the prettiest snowmen and just Christmas trees. And I'm like, I want to save this and put it on my mantle. But anyway, and I walked into this little girl and I tried to speak to her and she said, deaf. Okay, I know sign language. My mother and father are deaf. So I end up praying with her to receive Christ. 5 or 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve morning. Whoa. I got two cars left. So I drive another little area. I knew where some more kids normally stay. And I saw this one kid walking. So I came up behind him. I said, good morning, Merry Christmas. He said, Merry Christmas to you, sir. I said, you okay? He said, well, it's Christmas morning. Here I am. You know, typical answer. Like, what do you think? And I said, well, listen, here's a gift card. It's a little card somebody's wrote. And it's got a little meal card in it. I said, you can get you something to eat maybe later on tomorrow when they open up. He said, thank you. He said, today's my birthday. I said, it is. Your birthday is Christmas. He said, yeah. He said, well, I said, what's your name? He said, Drew. I have a son named Drew. So now I've ministered to a deaf lady. Now I see this kid. His birthday is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And his name is Drew. I said, whoa, that's pretty awesome. So we chatted a little bit. I had one card left, the very card I wanted to hang on to. There's this one kid I've been ministering to for about 5 or 6 years now. His name is Tyler. I said, Lord, I want to find Tyler. Now, Tyler is as addicted as any kid I've ever seen. I've caught him like 3 or 4 times okay, but other than that, he's most strung out. He's actually laid on my shoulder and cried in the past, said, I can't beat this thing. Anyway, so I said, Christmas morning, I said, I'm going to go look for Tyler. So I had gone like 6 or 8 miles looking for him. I knew where I'd normally find him at. And sure, I couldn't find him. I was heartbroken. I said, Lord, I got one card. I want to find Tyler. Instead of me going straight like I normally do, because if I go straight, it's straight to my house. I take the long way around. And I made this big loop. Maybe I was doing a sightseeing tour on Christmas morning. I don't know. And I come by Sonic's? Yeah, burger place. At the bus stop. And guess who's sitting at the bus stop? Shaking. Cold. It was Tyler. I turned around, parked my car. Now, I'm happy now. I'm real happy because it was the desire of my heart to find Tyler. I said, Tyler, I've been looking for you. He said, you're always looking for me. I said, you got you a Merry Christmas. And I had some extra cards and I loaded the Tyler up. You know, that was my last one. You know what I'm saying? I gave him some extra cards. I actually think I gave him a 20 on top of it. And I just said, Tyler, I love you. He said, I know you do. He said, nobody never speaks to me like you do. I said, Tyler, you going to make it? He said, somehow you make me think I can. And that was probably one of the best conversations I'd ever had with Tyler. And I left him. We prayed. And that's the power of salvation. See, God gives you the very desires of your heart. I didn't wake up one day and say, I can't wait to minister to street people. No. I don't think so. That's somebody else's job. That's the evangelist, the missionary. How much you taking up? Yep. That was an easy check to write. Go get them, boy. That was my attitude. Until I came on the other side of the coin. I'm like, God, I don't like this. But when you see someone say, I was going to commit suicide today.
That was just one story. I can tell you a dozen just like that story of something when people say, you know what, I'm giving, especially when COVID hit. When COVID hit, I'm telling you, it was easy to minister to people in broken places. Because again, like I said at the beginning, they said, oh, this is what grandma was talking about. This is what I learned in Sunday school. I didn't plan on telling this story. I said, well, can I tell one more, please? Don't ask Gary. I asked him, can I tell one more? I ministered this kid. He was out coming out of the back of a hotel. They were squatting back there, and we started talking. We had a great conversation. And I said, he said, man, I grew up in the city. And he said, I grew up in Sunday school and church. I said, did you? Man, he was telling me scripture, and we just had this little dialogue going. I said, what happened? He said, my dad got mad at the preacher. I said, you serious? He said it was something, I forgot what it was now, but it was something so trivial. And the dad said, we're not going back to that church. That preacher won't listen to us. Don't he know we're the pillar of the church? So instead of them resolving it, he took his two small boys out of church. I said, did the family ever go back to church? He said, never went back. He said, now I fell into drugs, fell into this, fell into that. And here I am. Sometimes life drops you like the Mephibosheth. He got dropped. Did he fall on his own? Somebody dropped him. And that's his condition. His dad dropped him because he wouldn't yield or submit or correct. Okay, promise, last story. My first vacation Bible school. 54 kids showed up. My wife and I brought 37. I picked them up in the back of my truck. We piled them in the car. I mean, we had them in there like sardines against the window. Thank God we didn't have to go far. 37 kids, I'm thinking about a mile or two radius from this vacation Bible school. Night one, pastor calls me over to the side and says, where'd you get these kids from? I said, they live in our neighborhood. He said, well, we didn't plan for these kids. He says, so what do you mean? He says, well, I saw him talking to some of the over there. He said, you can't bring them back. I said, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. And those kids, I didn't say nothing. They got in the car in the back of the truck and said, and they wanted to come back. And every time I dropped one of them off, I said, I can't pick you up. I can't bring you back. The last girl I dropped off, and you know her, Debbie, I can't think of the delinquents girl. She cried uncontrollably. She says, I can't come back to church. They told me I couldn't pick you up. She had her first child at 16. Folks, I'm telling you, I am not going to be part of that. I'm going to be part of the solution. Let's go. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, pick people up in their lowest moments. That's why I got so involved with children's ministry and kids' ministry. And my first street service in Goldsboro, I showed up, 137 kids showed up. My first time, I just rode up on an old bus. Yep. Did they remember the bus here? That big bus? I painted that with 182 cans of spray paint. Psh, psh, psh. My neighbors walked by. They didn't know what I was doing. Then I had kids put on it, taking it to the streets. We'd pull up in these neighborhoods and just start having church on the street. I'm thinking, wow, they're listening to me. And I'm telling you, it was powerful. Anyway, I want you to go away from here. Say, oh, great story. Glad I came to church. Good stories. What's your story? What are you going to do? And I want to pray with you before we give it back to Pastor Gary. If that is you in any shape, form, or fashion, maybe life dropped you somewhere. Maybe you've not been as lively and as spiritual as you. When I say spiritual, I mean you've not been able to convey, or you've not conveyed your faith as like you know you should. This is a moment to say, God, I don't want to do what he does, but God, let me share my faith in my work, my community. Let my light so shine. Would you pray with that prayer with me this morning? Can we just take a moment? If that is you, and listen, we're going to do this Quaker style. You have your own moment. Quakers, you don't say nothing. You just close your eyes and you just make right with God what you need to make right. And it could be a number of things. This is your moment for about 30 seconds.
Father, we thank you. We set ourselves here this morning, Lord, and Father, we lift our hands, we lifted our voices, we praised. Father, we just honor you, Lord. I pray, God, there's a supernatural fresh work in this house. That God, we wouldn't look to yesterday and say, this is where we've been. Yes, that's a good reference point. But God, let the mantle be, this is where we're going. We're walking on water one more time. We're setting our affections on the things of God. We're lining up scripturally and said, God, I want to be where you are. Holy Spirit, you know the prayers that have been made this morning. You've heard every word uttered in our spirit. Now, Lord, let there be a reset. Let there be a rejuvenation. Let our souls take another leap of faith and say, God, here I am. It's the I am inside of you with the great I am that can do anything you set your mind to. Trust this season of your life. Can I say this morning, you're not too young and you're not too old to do what God's put in your heart to do.